It's here and now. Ryan Speedo Green, Speedo because his dad loved, well, Speedos, is the young African-American baritone bass currently basking in applause and rave reviews in the role of Kalina in Puccini's La Boheme at New York's famed Metropolitan Opera. The New York Times said Speedo was the showstopper.
Hello.
This is Ryan.
Hi, I'm Speedo.
Oh, that voice.
Hey, I'm Daniel.
Nice to meet
How are you?
Recently, we met up at the Met with Speedo and journalist Daniel Bergner, whose book Singing for Your Life tells the story of Speedo's improbable journey to this place. His parents could be violent. After his dad left, his mom became more abusive. At 12, Speedo lashed back, pulling a knife on her, which landed him in solitary confinement in a brutal juvenile detention center. But then, a combination of teachers steered him to the Governor's Magnet School for the Arts in Roanoke, Virginia, which made a fateful field trip here to the Met. Much later, he was accepted into the Met's elite Lindemann Young Artist Development Program. We learn more as we walk this beautiful opera house, starting next to a glass case of ball gowns. Must be costumes from the past.
La Traviata.
La Traviata.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you gotten used to this?
Gotten used to it? Well, you know, there's still some hallways that I walk into that I've never walked into before.
People, it's Byzantine.
Yeah, exactly. So it's always incredibly exciting to come back, but it still has the same feeling of when I first came here when I was 15.
Well, let's talk about that. We can walk down this red velvet. I feel like I'm inside a jewelry box here. Talk about when you first came.
Yes, so at the age of 15, I went on a school field trip with my Magnet School for the Arts, and this is my first time singing opera. And the opera was Carmen. The lead character was played by an African-American mezzo-soprano by the name of Denise Graves. And for a 15-year-old me, who thought opera was something only a white person could do, was something that I never thought I would see a person who looks like me, who has the same color as me, on stage doing. It made it tangible. And she was amazing. She made me feel every emotion I could feel. And afterwards, I got to meet her.
She hugged you.
So it's almost like it should be, like it's almost, for me, movie-like. I walked outside and I was with my chorus teacher, Robert Brown. And I told him, you know, Mr. Brown, I want to sing at the Met. That's what I want to do. And it was the first real dream that I ever had. And less than 9 years, 9 years later, I was singing at the Metropolitan Opera.
We walked past practice rooms and corridors piled high with costumes and sheet music, the same corridors Speedo paced those 9 years later when, as a 24-year-old, after studying in college, he competed in the Metropolitan Opera's National Council auditions, a portal to professional success. Here he is in the finals. Speedo was one of the winners, and there that day, journalist Daniel Bergner. What did you see?
I saw a radiant human being. I was slowly hearing a story about transformation, about the power of will.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, Speedo. Go back to when you were a kid, terrible childhood, that I understand you're not always comfortable talking about, but lots of violence. You've said that when you see the documents that Daniel got after you were taken away to a facility, after you drew a knife on your mom, you don't even recognize that person.
No, I didn't. The person that I am today is a completely different person than I was back then. I think one of the first things I did when I got out of the detention center was to put everything behind me. If I didn't do that, I wouldn't have been able to move forward and take up the task that I did after I got out.
There were a couple of very inspiring teachers who refused to give up on Speedo. And
Mr. and Mrs. Hughes come to mind.
And Mr. Brown. And then just a tremendous amount of determination.
Well, talk about along the way, though. Let's talk about the sound, because a lot of people think, oh, and it was discovered when he was 12 that he opened his mouth and out came angels. It didn't happen that way.
No.
It's funny. I went back to the School for the Arts where he was almost thrown out after his first year because he had no ability to read music and no particular promise. And I said, what's the truth? And the director of the vocal program said, listen, he could not sing. You were not hearing then what anything like what you're hearing now.
I know.
Ultimately, the voice that we hear now started to appear, but when it first did, Speedo had to learn how to use it, train like an athlete, like a surgeon. And he was surrounded by other singers who'd been singing and training their whole young lives in multiple languages.
Despite preconceptions, I did not grow up singing in the church, nor was I a prodigy by any means. I dreamed of being an opera singer before I had the tools.
Well, and it's just no guarantee. All these many coaches are hoping. I'm reading one coach say, you were born with a trombone and you had to work to get a little more of a trumpet. You have to figure out how to sing 30 pitches on approximately 20 vowels, 600 combinations.
Yeah. That alone, you know, is daunting for a person who went a lot on gut. It took almost a year with maybe two or three voice lessons a week just to be able to implement it.
You know, the fact that Americans, we get lazy in our speech, so we say absolutely, suh. It's really absolutely. But when you're singing in Italian and you do that same thing in Italian, the entire audience might cringe.
And not only will the audience cringe, but my colleagues on stage or maybe the conductor, who is most likely Italian, will give me a look. Luckily, I know enough to be able to get by these rehearsals,
yeah,
but it's definitely a growing experience.
Well, but when this is happening, luckily you're you, because you made a decision to admit that you hadn't been studying since you were 13. And so there's these poignant moments, people working so hard with you, and someone says, well, make it more melancholy. And you say, I don't know what that is.
You know, I made a conscious decision to not let any of this go to waste. Maybe someone might look at me weird to be like, oh, how could you not know what melancholy means? But for me, like the moment that they tell me, I'll know. Whatever. Yeah, I'm sorry. I literally can't think.
You're done.
Yeah.
On this day, Speedo is tired. But as we mentioned, he also has trouble at times talking about the traumatic moments in his past. After he left for an audition, we asked Daniel about that.
One of the realizations I had was that people in my world assume that digging deep into the past is going to liberate us and make us better people, more functional people. That was not Speedo's assumption. He really needed, when he got out of that facility, and remember, he was taken there not only in handcuffs, but in leg shackles. This was a really violent moment in his life. And when he got out of there, his impulse was close the door on the past. And in lots of ways, of course, he was right.
Did you ever think, wow, what if he doesn't have an opera voice?
I think this is a key point. There was so much doubt.
And then when he did develop the voice, how heartbreaking to hear. He's now singing the finest opera arias, and everyone, you know, at fundraising events wants him to sing Old Man River.
Right. So from the very beginning, Speedo has faced the challenges of race from all directions. Of course, his black friends in high school taunted him for singing white music. At the same time, ever since he started singing classically, white audience members have come up afterward and said, oh, you should really just sing like Paul Robeson and sing Old Man River. And this haunts him to this day. Old Man River is a wonderful song, but it is sung by a black character who's all but a slave in the Jim Crow South and who longs for death as the only release from the chains that he symbolically wears. And this is the great thing about Speedo's story to me, is it's all about trying to break out of boxes. The box that he was put in as a 12-year-old when he was locked up in an institution, and the box that race puts him in terms of identity. All his life, he's been trying to expand the boundaries of his identity. And the request to sing Old Man River, even though it's beautiful, and believe me, he can sing it beautifully, are an attempt in the end to put him back inside a box.
As we said goodbye, Speedo told us about his recent visit to one of those boxes.
I was able to go back to the detention facility, and once I got over the trauma of seeing my cell and the solitary confinement where I spent a lot of time in, I was able to sing and speak to the kids. And I told them that I had once been where they were sitting, and they couldn't believe it. And one of the kids asked me, like, so that means I could go to college? That was huge. And, you know, there were some kids there who tried to spit on me as I was singing. Even that, I tried to connect with them, tried to sing to them as if you were part of the aria. One of the kids said he was a rapper, and, you know, he had this sort of overly tough persona. Reminded me of myself when I was his age. And I realized that a lot of the reasons why I was so angry and I was so had so many eruptions and I was so violent was because maybe I couldn't accept kindness from others. And maybe I just didn't like the person that I was. And it was such an honor for them to open up to me.
cast of La Boheme, including Ryan Speedo Green, at the Metropolitan Opera in New York for just a few more days. Then Speedo heads to Austria for featured roles with the Vienna State Opera, a long way from a juvenile detention facility. You're listening to Here and Now.